Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program number 333. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will show you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. It's absolutely free, postage and handling included. We have Peg Springman again today in the H.B. Barnum Choir. I've got some Bible reading and some very important teaching and a couple of testimonies here. Right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father God, there are so many Gentiles in this world. Gentile means other than Jew. Jew means a person that believes in the Lord. We all must become spiritual Israelites now. Even the Jews have to be reunited to you through Jesus. Therefore, Lord, the Gentile nations are so wicked. Gentiles, when they are Gentiles and haven't accepted you as their Messiah, they're extremely dangerous. The things that they're saying about Christians today and the things they're saying about you, now they're saying that they found two coffins that you and Mary Magdalene were buried in. First of all, you were not buried in a coffin. This is Gentiles. Your word says that the disbelievers, the unbelievers, are dead, and the dead know nothing. It's just, Lord, I pray that you'll give wisdom to the Gentiles, the lost, and that you'll, so that they'll stop this trying to come up with all these different things about the Bible when they don't know anything about the Bible. It's not that, it must be spiritually discerned, and they are carnal head. They have no understanding, and they're just looking for some kind of impediment in the Word of God, but really they can't find it at all. And another thing, too, is you rose from the dead. You were in a tomb by yourself, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and you absolutely rose from the dead. And then over 500 people saw you ascend into the kingdom of heaven. The people, the Gentiles, are utterly so stupid. And Lord, I pray that in this program that you will give them knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and salvation, that they will receive it, that their souls may not spend eternity in the lake of fire, but that they will spend eternity in heaven. Lord, and that the church, your body, may be edified, strengthen, that it will wake up, that the church, that which is supposed to be your bride, will become filled with zeal to combat these things and to get the gospel to the dead Gentiles. For that's the most important thing for them to do, is to die from their old thoughts and their old deeds. The world is corrupt, and it's condemned, and it's going to burn, and there's only a few moments of time left. And Lord, we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have Peg Springman here to sing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
There was three children from the land of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they took a trip to the land of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he took a lot of gold and he made an idol. Shadrach, Jack of Benny. And he told everybody when you hear the music of the cornet and the flute and the harp, you must fall down and worship the idol Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the children of Israel would not bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego would fool them with a golden idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. So the king put the children in the fiery furnace. And the red hot brimstone, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, 7 months hotter than it ought to be. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, word of the soldiers, what the king had put there. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the Lord sent an angel with snowy white wings down in the middle of the furnace, talking to the children about the power of the gospel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, he couldn't even burn the hair on the head of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, laughing and talking while the fire was a-jumping round. Ho, ho, ho! Meshach, Abednego. Oh, never but never called Ador when he saw the power of the Lord. And they had a big fight in the house of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Oh, Abednego.
Praise the Lord. What fantastic miracle. How that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went right through the fire. This is a very hard thing for the Gentile, the people that know nothing, for them to receive that into their heart. They have not yet become dead to this world, dead to their old life. All they know is what Antichrist has taught them. And Antichrist, of course, is devil, Satan. And this is what the Lord has sent us into the world to do, is to resist Satan. We know already that the things that the Lord has said in his word has come to pass. We're standing right at the end of time. And what a stupid, what a ridiculous time in this world that people should be doubting the word of God and making mock of God himself, who stepped out of eternity into human flesh and lived the human life and then was crucified and then rose from the dead and then ascended up into the kingdom of heaven. And 50 days later, he filled 120 people in the upper room with the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the ministry, to be able to put up with the degradation of the dead dogs. The Lord calls people that are not saved dead dogs. As I read from the scriptures a few days ago, how that the woman that had a child that needed the touch of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told her, you know, that the bread or the from heaven is for the children, the people that believe, not the dogs. And she said, well, yes, but the dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table. And for this saying, he said, okay, I'm going to give your daughter healing. Now just go and you'll find her healed. He didn't say, I'm going to give her salvation, because you have to believe before you can be saved. You have to believe. You can't be a mocking the Lord, and you can't shuck the Lord either. You can't deceive him. You are deceived. You're the deceived one. The Lord knows everything. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we have some testimonies today. Where is the first one from?
From Corcoran, California.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and pray his many blessings cover this ministry and all those saints involved. I am incarcerated in a California prison, accused, judged, and imprisoned for a crime I did not commit. Nevertheless, I am hearing and feeling the Spirit of God tell me that I will get through this. This too shall pass. I am reminded of Paul's admonishing of the church of Corinth, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I know that I am here for God's purpose, to do his will. I preach his truth every day. Men who never knew God are now calling on his name, and I never miss an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord. As I read my San Diego Union Tribune, I came upon Dry Bones and was so filled with the Spirit after reading it. I read it again and again and again. Like anybody, Christians included, I found myself at a low point lately, almost ready to give up and die, becoming nothing more than a pile of dry bones myself. After reading Dry Bones and reading Ezekiel chapter 37, seeing myself in the pile of dry bones, I now have renewed bones. I am not dead. I am very much alive. And be it free or behind bars, my life will be a living testimony to the powerful, life-changing, and giving hope that is in service of the Almighty God. Please help me in my walk by blessing me with a copy of The Messiah and any other inspirational material or messages on CD you have available. Please accept my thanks and my prayers for you all, a brother in Christ, Gregory, from Corcoran, California.
Praise the Lord. What else do you have?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Greetings to you in the precious name of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. I thank the Almighty God for your ministry, which is winning souls for God, as it is written in the Holy Bible, that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to others. I thank you for your literature being given to a friend of mine, who also gave me one of your literatures to read through. In fact, I was happy to read your powerful and magnificent literature about God and how human beings are behaving towards him. After I had finished reading it, I took it to school and to the church and gave it to other people. In fact, it has been winning souls in the school, the church, and the community, since the literature talks a lot about God and how man has sinned towards him. Also, it has increased my faith in the Lord, since it is winning souls for God. I therefore will be happy if you could arrange to send me Bibles, the Messiah book, and other helpful and powerful literature to be distributed to my church members, schoolmates, and the community as well, so that we will understand the Word of God and have faith in Him forever. God bless your ministry, and may it grow from strength to strength. Yours in Christ, Anderson, from Mankasim, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, the big trouble with people today is they're not receiving the Lord as little children. Little children believe what they're told. So the most important thing and the most powerful thing in the entire universe for the human beings is to be made dead. Now, what the disciples did is they brought young children to the Lord. And they wanted him to touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought the little children unto him. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. Because the little children wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And Jesus continued saying, for such is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So if people are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, and we must enter the kingdom of heaven here in this world, because the kingdom of heaven enters into us, and then we are immediately placed with Jesus in heaven by this Holy Spirit. So the most important thing, the most powerful thing, is for humanity to be made dead. Dead to the life of being a Gentile, a disbeliever. This gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is so simple that even a little child can believe it. But Gentiles, they love worldly wisdom. They've taken on the spirit of Eve, who was deceived in the Garden of Eden. So if we live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, first of all, we have to receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is His Word. The words that I speak to you are Holy Spirit, and they are your eternal life. So if we live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and touch the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is touching us, in other words, if the words that the Lord speaks touch you, touch your spirit, your soul, your mind, then we must allow the Holy Spirit to execute the crucifixion on us. In other words, we must, all these ideas, you pitiful people out there that are saying that Jesus was married. Jesus really is married today. He's married to His church, the believers, but not in a sexual way at all. It's very much unlike a sexual experience that the Apostle Paul said, because when a man and wife become one, a man and a woman become one, they have sexual relationship. But when you and all of us become one with the Lord, when we become members of His body, then He cleaves unto us. We receive His Spirit into us. And this is how the Apostle Paul likens salvation, is we must have the Holy Spirit, the intensified Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God, especially in these last days, for the time is so dark that we're living in. Dark meaning so filled with darkness. The Word of God is the light. And when people don't have the light of God, then they're in total darkness. The Lord calls them blind. And when we see people being led by such as the History Channel, a bunch of dead dogs that don't know anything, the Lord says that without Christ, with His Father by the Spirit in us, which is the intensified Holy Spirit, that we're dead in our sins. There's no possibility for us to get into the kingdom of heaven. But when we humble ourselves and get our minds off the stock market, out of making money off of our money in the bank, because you're not going to take a penny of it with you when you pass on into the nether world, which is the pit of hell and the lake of fire. You're not going to take any of that with you. You're not going to take your bowling ball or your basketball or your football or your tennis ball or any of these things with you, or your trophies that you've made. They're going to seem so stupid to you, because what you did is pass by the very essence of everything. the most important thing is to become dead to the things of this world and live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, as the Bible says, has become the life-giving Spirit. There's no other power in the world that can give you, or no religion can give you, this power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And you must receive. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit enters into you, the kingdom of heaven has entered into you. Because Christ is everything. He's the kingdom of God. And his Father and he are all one. When I saw Jesus sitting on the throne with my eyes wide open, and he was talking to me in a broken way because it was he was showing me that I'm not hearing everything that he said, and that I have to get deeply into the Holy Spirit because this is the end of time. And the Lord wants me to expose salvation and the way to receive salvation to the dead Gentiles and to the dead Jews, the Jews that have not yet become born of the Spirit, regenerated. That's what salvation is. Now, people can, the blood of Jesus takes away the sins of the world, but the Spirit of God enters in and gives us life. We have to be washed clean, and then Jesus, who has become the life-giving Spirit, when we ask him, Lord, we're tired of being dead dogs, dead Gentiles, just spouting off, showing off for people with stupidity, believing that most of the people in the world want to laugh at a time of darkness like this. And so you're spouting off, saying things that, of course, you don't know anything about at all because you're dead. And you're a dead dog. And a dead dog is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, people trust in worldly wisdom. They flock to universities for all sorts of different crafts. They go to learn how to make money, and a lot of them in these universities, they die while they're going through it. And then some of them make it through, and they're so bummed out that whenever one of their family members dies or somebody that they know, they become despondent and they want to commit suicide. Or if a disease hits them, they want to commit suicide because they don't have any hope for the future. They, the dead dogs, believe that all there is this world. They don't believe in the world to come. They don't believe that there's a heaven or a hell. Because I know I was a dead dog at one time. I laughed at people that were saved, and I believed that once you're dead, that's it. You didn't know anything before you were born, and it's for sure you're not going to know anything after you die, until the supernatural experience happened to me in the office. Now, I own a Beatles album because I did the promotion for Pete Best, the former drummer of the Beatles, and he owns 6 Beatles albums. And I stepped down out of one of the most supposed to be exciting parts of show business. I was the promoter for a lot of big stars like Sonny and Cher, and you know there are many of them, and I'm the one that started the 20 original hits you can't buy it in the store, you got to call up on the phone. And since then, KTEL Records copied my idea. And I got tired of the business and got out to do promotion for singers and actors. And then Warner Brothers started doing it. You can see them on TV all the time doing my idea. Right? Now they're not selling 20 original hits, they're selling 120 of them or something like that. But, you know, still they're raking in the money like I did. But I realized when the Lord got me, that what I was doing was ridiculous. My biggest nightmare was to become saved and to have to go out on the streets and witness to people, or to stand there with a little bell. I thought you'd have to be like the Salvation Army, where you're standing there with a little bell, ringing it and ringing it and ringing it for people to put a penny in the pot and save a soul. And I used to just mock them like crazy. And then when the Lord came down upon me in that office in Beverly Hills, I realized that they were right. And, you know, the Salvation Army back then was good. Now they've become a bunch of thrift stores. And they've fallen away from the Lord. I'm sure there's some saved people in there, but on the whole, they're becoming halfway houses and all that. And that's not of the Lord.
So we must become like little children. We've got to receive the gospel just like a little child does. Amen?
Amen.
No questions. I mean, God's word is not to be questioned. Amen?
Amen.
You're to receive it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and receive it with zeal so that you can have the power of God in you so that you can go out and witness and testify to everyone. Now, the Beatles album, I've never sold that now. And, you know, so people don't think I'm in the ministry for money. I put that away as so much dung, just like the Apostle Paul said. All the things that I had from out in the world, I was very close to managing the Beatles. They asked me to manage them, and the Rolling Stones, and P.J. Proby, and who many of you may have never heard of P.J. Proby, but he was right up there. The Beatles stated that he was their favorite singer. And I was handling Bobby Jameson, who I did the promotion for. And I left Bobby right in the middle of the promotion after the Lord spoke to me. I had to find out what the Lord wanted me to do. And then all of a sudden I found out that he wanted me to die out completely to the old life. And I was very pleased to do whatever the Lord said, because he's God and he can take your life at any second, any time. So if we live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and touch the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is touching us, then we must allow the Holy Spirit to execute the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ upon all our living, every part of the life that we were living before. I had to get out of the record business. I had to get out of the motion picture business. I had to get out of really the promotional business to promote. They asked me to do, the whole Democratic Party asked me to do the promotion for the entire Democratic Party. Yeah, I had to give all this stuff up. I didn't want to do that promo anyway, because I'm not neither a Democrat or a Republican, because what I am is a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
And what I belong to the Lord's party. Amen?
Amen.
And his is the one that wins out in the end. All of our living and actions must be done away with. He wants to allow all of our living, the kind of living we did before we knew the Lord, to be passed away. And he wants us to back the gospel or be active in the gospel field one way or the other. By doing this, this is allowing our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. We have to allow our cooperation. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Because anybody that thinks that they can do the opposite of what God says in His Word, then we're not cooperating with the Holy Spirit, because the Bible, the Word of God, is God. So you can say, well, where is God? Open your Bible. That's God. Amen?
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word of God was with God. And as a matter of fact, the Word was God and still is God. Amen?
Amen.
So if you want God, open the Bible and receive what He says. Receive Him, God, the Word, into your soul, into your spirit, into your mind.
When we let the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, perform the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, when the Word of God gets in us, then we have the power of God in us as well. And the Bible says if that power of God is in us, who could be against us? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That is so wonderful, so much more wonderful than the record business. Or the Democratic Party, or the Republican Party. God is magnificent. He's everything. So in other words, it will be God's work through us and in us if we, if we're allowing a God, if we allow the Holy Spirit, if we allow that. This means that we are cooperating with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. How can they dare not cooperate with God? Well, of course, what do you think would happen if one of your employees didn't cooperate with you and just wouldn't, no matter what? Why would you keep them hired? Before the Antichrist government got into everybody's business, you could fire such a person as that. But you can't fire certain people anymore according to the federal government, but I will obey God rather than the Antichrist, Satan's government, okay?
Amen.
And this is one person that has the kingdom of heaven in him. I have the kingdom of God in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I love to, the Word of God, I love to cooperate with the Lord. And by doing so, I see millions of souls being saved, being led to the Lord, and I see the kingdom of heaven is now at hand. So that's what we're supposed to say when the Holy Spirit enters into us, to say, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what Jesus said, and that's what we're supposed to be preaching, is the kingdom of heaven, and that's the Word of God within you. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God in you. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in you. God is in Christ, and Christ now has become the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit that enters you and fills you with God. But then you have to, for a moment, that you have to continue reading the Word of God to keep filling yourself up more and more every day, so that the Holy Spirit is built up in you to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God stepped out of eternity into our time zone, into the world, because we are on time, in time, but the Lord was in eternity, and he is now. But he stepped down from eternity into a human body and lived the kind of life we live, the human life. There isn't anything about life that he doesn't know about. Now, he never was tempted, and he never was married to any female. He never had any children by fornication, because he never fornicated. But now he has hundreds of millions of children, and these children, those that believed him, like little children believe when they're told the truth. Now he has a bride, and all of us, we believers, we have become the corporate body of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Just the same way as all those that are mocking the Lord have become the corporate body of Antichrist, the devil. There's only two bodies. One is the first Adam, which was Adam, and who took on the spirit of Satan when they disobeyed God. And Christ was the second Adam. Now, Adam sinned, his wife sinned, and so they became the first two of that were once saved, but now they're not always saved. So the doctrine once saved always saved. It's not true, because back then they had to believe in Jesus as well. They used to, after Eve sinned and her husband followed suit, they had to, in order to show the Lord that they believed in the coming of God in the world, which is Jesus, they had to kill a lamb, because Jesus is called the Lamb of God. So to show God, they took an actual lamb and killed him, and then put the blood, in order to get out of Egypt, what they did is put the blood of that lamb on the top of, above the door, and then on each side of the door, and then they put the blood basin down at the bottom, if there was any drippings. And this was the sign of the cross, that God would have to, his body, his human body, would have to die on the cross. So if you showed the Lord the blood and acknowledged the blood of Jesus, well, then you're saved. If you your sins are washed away, and if you acknowledge the Holy Spirit and live according to the Holy Spirit, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means if you believe the entire Word of God and don't reject it and don't make mock of it, well, then you're saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that simple? Mm-hmm. And that's how simple the gospel is that a little child can understand that, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of you people have become so sophisticated that you've become savages. Sophisticated savages. And the Lord doesn't want you to be sophisticated savages, dead dogs, Gentiles. Gentile is not a pretty word. Those are people that don't believe in God. Again, a person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and the whole Word of God, in other words, is a Jew, a spiritual Jew. Okay, so we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. If we want to show the Lord that we believe as a little child, amen?
Amen.
We must all become like little children. And some of the things that the Bible tells you to do, it says so impossible. The Lord in the Spirit has told me to do a lot of things. And when I said, Lord, do I have to? But when I did it, it was wonderful things that happened. I never would have done that before. The Lord even told me to open up schools all over the world. I'm the president of the American Association of Non-Denominational Christian Schools. I never could open up a school, but I'm the president and I'm the principal of schools. Open a church. Open churches everywhere. Get distribution everywhere. He said, if you do this, you will not be destroyed, but if you don't do it, you will be destroyed. All right. So this is great, fantastic leading of God, from God, for what I'm supposed to do. Amen? Well, you say, well, we don't know what to do. Just be obedient to the Word of God, and eventually God will show you exactly what you're supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
Now, one of the things you want to do is just die out to your own ideas and your own opinions, because these are definitely very closely related to Satan. Our flesh, you know, Satan, we lived in the world in this same body that we're in here, and the Holy Spirit entered in and mortifies the things of Satan in our flesh, all the lusts of the world, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so therefore, if we're walking in the Holy Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh thereof. I mean, but we have to really stay close to the Lord in order to accomplish, for the Lord to accomplish that in us. We can do nothing of ourselves that is of any benefit to ourselves or to our families or to anybody else in this world. It must be the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God living in us and through us in order for us to accomplish any good thing. Paul stated that he did more than all the other apostles put together, yet it wasn't him, it was the Lord in him that did that. Amen?
Amen.
So there's no telling what God, miracles and everything that God can have you do if you allow Him. By the Holy Spirit, He is the Holy Spirit with His Father. He's Christ is in God. God is in Christ. Christ is in God. And Christ will be in you. And God will be in you. And if He be in you, who could be against you? Amen?
Amen.
Now, this world is a very depressing place. There's, if it wasn't, then you wouldn't see so many people committing suicide and wanting to die and wanting people to help them to die. It's depressing, and there's nothing to look forward to until you receive the gospel, because then you know that there's a place hundreds of billions of times better than anywhere else on this earth. If you had perfect health, and if you were living in some place on earth here that they advertise as being a paradise, it's like an outhouse compared to the kingdom of heaven. And there's no death there, there's no pain there, there's no sickness there, there's no nothing evil there, there's no oppression there, there's no Antichrist federal government there. There's no Antichrist church there. There's no Antichrist media there to deceive you and keep telling you of all the filthy, rotten things that are going on in the world. Because there's nothing evil happening in heaven. But in hell, in the lake of fire, it's like torment beyond anything that could be described. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love Him as little children and receive Him as little children and love Him and keep His commandments. Now, Jesus said, if we love Him, then keep His commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you don't keep His commandments, and you can't keep His commandments until the sevenfold Spirit of God is living in you. And that's why it's so important for you to accept the Lord, accept the Holy Spirit, accept the Word of God, for the Holy Spirit, the intensification of the Holy Spirit to live in you so that you will be able to keep the commandments. But Lord, how can we keep the commandments? So how can we show that we love You? By receiving the intensification of the Holy Spirit to completely die out. That's the most important thing in the world, and to allow the intensified Holy Spirit, which is Jesus, God in Jesus, and which is the Holy Spirit, live in you and live out His life in you, because then you've got something to look forward to. When you feel this powerful Spirit living in you, then you realize that, hey, the Bible is true. I feel the Lord in me, and I feel encouraged every minute of the day because I know that He lives. He's because He's living within my spirit and my soul and my mind. I'm totally absorbed with the Lord, and I know I've got something fantastic to look forward to. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
But there's nothing else that's wonderful. I mean, so you make a pile of money, and then what? There's still that dead thud inside your brain. You know, you lock yourself into your condo or wherever you're living. Rows and rows of expensive houses, mansions, and everything. You're living in there and with no hope whatsoever. And then some dreaded disease comes to you or one of your loved ones, and there's no hope because you've received the things that the dead dog Gentiles have told you. Instead of seeing for yourself, looking into the perfect will of God, the Word of God, man doesn't live by money or bread alone, but by every word. You live eternally by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, the Word of God is God's life. We have a temporal life, one that, you know, everything that lives dies. You can look out there in your yard, you can see it, yeah, it's alive in the springtime and summer, and then it dies. Birds, fish, beasts, bugs,
humans, cattle, everything dies. It had life at one time. But when we accept God, the living God, into us, then his eternal life is mixed by the Spirit with our spirit, and that gives our spirit immortality. We're able to live as God does. We're able to live eternally as God does, because it's like pouring life into a vessel that never had life in it before. All we had was temporal life, but we're talking here about the most important thing in the world, and that's eternal life. So naturally, we forfeit, we totally reject our former life so that we can have eternal life. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
It's like, you know, way more superior than this, but it's like turning in a dollar, you know, in a Gentile way, turning in a dollar to get $1 billion. Amen? Or $1 trillion. See, that doesn't even compare to it. It's much better than that, because this is eternal life without suffering and just nothing but sheer joy and happiness forever. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Amen? Isn't that something in this world to have such hope and to have such joy in your heart no matter how dark it is? Isn't that something?
Amen.
So, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with the Father, by doing this, by cooperating with the Holy Spirit, I mean, it is one way that we apply the crucifixion of Christ through the Holy Spirit. The other way is that we let the Holy Spirit execute Christ's crucifixion in us. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that when the Holy Spirit gets into us, it mortifies us. That's therefore, that makes us crucified. Amen?
Amen?
We're dead. But yet, the Holy Spirit, Christ in God, God in Christ, crucifies our old life. That's what it means. That isn't anything bad. Our old life is Gentile, dog. But now we have God. We're exchanging our dog self for God in Christ to live within us. And the exchange is, to fight that is preposterous. It's the epitome of stupidity. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so in one way, it is our doing because we allow that to happen. And in the other way, it's the working of the Holy Spirit. But we have to do something. We have to receive the Holy Spirit. We have to receive the Word of God like a little child. Amen?
Amen.
Or there's no way that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. And there's no other alternative than that given to us. The alternative is that we have to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And that isn't fun, okay?
Amen.
It's the farthest thing from fun on the face of this earth. It is absolutely impossible to separate one from the other in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. At this time, we are living in Romans chapter 8. If you allow that to happen, you'll be living in the 8th chapter of Romans. In other words, you'll be living in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because that's a law. There's the law of sin and death also. Right now, you Gentiles are living according to the law of sin and death. And there's no hope in that. You yourselves say, I wish it were true. Let me tell you something. Do you think I would give up a Beatles album and not sell it and all the other things in this world that have come my way and just be preaching the gospel and be taking all the persecution that I've taken if I didn't have joy with it? Amen?
Amen.
If there wasn't a great reward at the end of the line, do you think those
disciples would have been crucified upside down, had their heads cut off and everything, if they didn't know that the second, that the split of a second, that their soul left their body, that they'd be in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And never be in hell again, and never, or thank God, never be on this earth until it's absolutely been refurbished by the fire that's going to burn this place up. And we're standing right at the end of time. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or the Spirit, which is Christ, the life-giving Spirit. By doing so, we're putting to death all expressions of the old man, the devil that lived in us through the Holy Spirit. God coming into us mortifies every evil thing that was in us before. Amen?
Amen.
It gives us the power. I receive it like a little child. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's no profit in rejecting this. None whatsoever. So people have a will that is pliable. And if a person is willing to cooperate with God, the Holy Spirit will bring any person into the cross. The Holy Spirit will pull us right into the cross. In other words, it'll mortify our old life. Amen? It'll kill our old life. And that's what we want. Because any of our old life is worthless.
Amen.
Okay? The flesh is worthless. But the Spirit giveth life. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will bring any person into the cross if you let him. And put yourself, he'll put yourself thoroughly to death if you have enough of the Holy Spirit in you. So I praise and thank the Lord for that, don't you?
Amen.
But we need to bear the death of the cross on a daily basis. We need to experience the cross that we bear it. Bearing the cross means that we are continuously. Not only do we bear it daily on a day-to-day basis and at all times, but we also bear it everywhere we go. We bear about the death of Christ, but we must apply the death of the cross, the Holy Spirit, to our self in us. We must pour the Holy Spirit in us every day. We must experience the death-dealing Holy Spirit. Death to the old man in us, but life to our spirit, our soul, our eternal life. I see my time is up. It always grieves me, you know, that I have to stop, that I only have an hour. But thank God I do have this hour.
Amen.
And so those of you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would suppose that you would like to do something. Go back to your childhood when you trusted your mom and your dad. If you did, I know there's a lot of mothers and dads that can't be trusted, but you can surely trust the Lord God. Put your soul, your spirit, yourself in His hands and leave the driving to the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So just say this prayer unto the Lord and have life living in you, God's life, to mortify that worthless life of your own, Gentile, dog life. Say to the Lord right now, My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And I know that if that same Spirit is living in me, that He will also raise me up from the dead by the Holy Spirit and take me into heaven where You are. I open the door of my heart and invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in Your precious blood. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says that You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that You have heard me, and I know that You have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. And if you're driving, pull over first before you do that. Okay? So here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of Program 333. That's the one that you just heard. And it's absolutely free of charge, including the postage and handling. So Sharon, tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
And this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure that you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Lord. And here's H.B. Barnum's beautiful Life Choir singing the Life Prayer Song.